Hey, gangs, we watch stuff 95. I'm Jeremy. Shahid's with me, as always. One of these days I'll stop saying that. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. It's WrestleMania week. It kind of snuck up on us, and a lot of stuff has been happening between last show and this show.
Yeah, which is kind of surprising, because last week I don't think we really had a whole lot. I mean, we made the most of it, as we always do, but
yeah.
Where do you want to start? Do we want to do the wrestling stuff first, or use that as the end?
We can say it at the end, like, right. You know, the whole, like, first, I went to the movies this past weekend, like Jeremy.
I saw
Power Rangers on Friday
that's right.
By myself, and I saw Life on Saturday with my wife. And they were two completely different movie experiences. Like, they were both good movies in their own way, but I enjoyed one a lot more than I enjoyed the other one. And it's not what you would probably guess.
No, well, you came out and told me which one it was, obviously, but...
But if I hadn't told you, like, some people probably be surprised. Like, I enjoy Power Rangers a lot more than I enjoy Life, which is funny considering the pedigree of both movies.
Yeah. Well, we talked about, I think we had talked about the last show, like, Power Rangers isn't my thing. It's just, I'm just outside of that gap, which is weird. But it didn't do as well... as people expected it to, I guess the studios wanted it.
No, it did what they actually it did better than people expect. Like, it hit the number that they was aiming for. It's funny about how expectations come in, because it's kind of like it made $40 million. People saying, "Oh, you know, that don't seem like a lot." And it's like they were hope considering how many movies are out now and the budget and everything like that. They were hoping to hit in the high 30s. They were guessing 30s. And they was hoping to hit in the 40s. And, like, people forget the first one came out when Power Rangers was super duper popular and made, like, 58 total.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to mention, too, is they have never had, like, this I'd say would be a middling success. Because can you see them building on this to make six more of these, like, their original plan?
I mean, yeah, if you hit your expectations, then, and, you know, yeah, it's kind of like you know, they didn't have a lot of risk as far because they sold the foreign distribution to us, so they were only like on the table for like 25%. If they hit 100 domestic, then they straight because it's funny they spend a lot for them, but they didn't spend a whole lot. Like, they spent basically half of what Kong Skull Island spent.
It's funny, Brazil and Mexico really ate this movie up. Oh, that's just on the. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's still didn't drop in. And it's still didn't drop in Japan
or China.
Which is like, you know, basically Power Rangers Central, because half the footage comes from there. So they look as a success. And it's funny where I was talking to you, like, it's one of those. It's a polarizing movie because even with reviews and people watched it, people either enjoyed it or couldn't stand it. Like, it was no middle ground with this. And even with reviews, it's like I've seen some websites, people get like 7.5 and 8, and then some get 5. And I think it comes to the whole thing of how you look at the Power Rangers. Because if it was a case of, you know, like I asked you, it's like, oh, yeah, it's like they dress up in ninja suits. They just, you know, they're robots and they fight monsters. And that's like, that's all you saw, then you're going to be disappointed because the movie's like 2 hours and it's really like an hour and a half of build up, and then they become the Power Rangers. So if you're there just to see the fighting stuff, like, well, what's going on? If you watch the Power Rangers and, like, you know, half of it's like them being teenagers and doing the whole teenage thing and talking and that stuff, and then becoming the Power Rangers, it's like it was almost kind of like an extended episode where they put a lot of effort in building up to become the Power Ranger, like making them earn it. So when by the time it happened, it felt like it was something. Like, they made you care about the people, and I was surprised like they went that route. And it was, and people laugh all the time, like, why they make the Power Rangers gritty and everything and adult, and it actually worked. Because, like, I remember watching the old Power Rangers movie, like, for the first time. I had watched it like last week. Oh, that movie does not age well at all. Like, it's just, not only that, like, it aged worse than the TV show. Like, the TV show and their goofy special effects, at least it's funny where practical effects age a lot better than CGI.
Yes.
Because practical is always practical, and like that CGI looked like trash. Like, so when all people say, oh, why don't they do Power Rangers? They just do like the TV show and make it good. Like, they did that and nobody saw it. Like, it was garbage. And this one is kind of like they made you care about these teenagers. And it's funny where it was like one, it's funny how they did, like, you know, one guy was autistic. One had a mom dying from like stage 4 cancer. Like the Red Ranger was, you know, he was a quarterback that got arrested for like vandalism and hurt his knee. The Pink Ranger, I don't know, she was sexting or something. Like, somebody sent her a pic and she sent it to the boyfriend and the family, like, you know, basically slut shaming her. Like, I was like, wow, this is stuff that happens now, but I wouldn't expect they would do this with the Power Rangers.
Well, I mean, it always says Saban's Power Rangers. I'm guessing Saban's the one that created them. You'd be amazed how little I know about this. For such a gigantic property, I know very little about this.
You know what? It's fun reading about that. Like, he had bought the rights to it when he first saw it. He did the show. He sold that and the rest, like Fox cartoons, to Disney. He got like $1.5 billion out of it because they spent like $4 billion for it. Then he bought it back from Disney for like $65
million. Mm, nice.
Like the rights to Power Rangers. And then they came to him to make a movie. Like, he didn't go to them. They came to him like, you know, we want to redo the Power Rangers. And then it was right around that time the guy did like that short, like that YouTube thing where it was all super violent and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of people watched it, and it's kind of like people start talking about it since then. And they made the movie, and it's weird where if you watched the Power Rangers as a kid, like really watched, and it felt like an updated version of the Power Rangers. But it was kind of like, it was goofy, and all the people that were doing it, like they were into it. Like Elizabeth Banks knew what type of movie she was doing, and she was eating up screen. And Bryan Cranston as Zordon was a asshole. Like,
so what? Yeah, what is his character? I'm confused. Is it just a floating head?
Like originally, like basically, he was an original Power Ranger that died, and they basically got his brain waves and put him in the computer. So he's basically like a talking wall. He wakes up like, "Why am I on the damn wall?" And you died. It's the only way to save you. And his whole and the only reason he brought back the Power Rangers originally, like, I'm gonna bring back the Power Rangers so they can bring me back.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, he's just basically selfish. Like, I'll bring back and lead the team. And it's like, you died the first time. Like, you didn't care about us. It was just about you. And he finally, like, you know, realized he's being selfish and, like, you know, beats the selfless lead. And it's funny where the Blue Ranger is named after him in real life because he used to voice some of the Power Rangers villains, like, back in the 90s. Because Bryan Cranston used to be a voice actor and people kind of forgot about that. Like, I remember watching like the animated Street Fighter 2 movie, and he's voicing Fei Long. And I did not know that until, like, I watched Breaking Bad. It's about trivia. And then it's funny, it's like, he's been around the block. So when people say about, oh, Bryan Cranston's slumming, I'm like, he's done this. He's done this before. Like, this ain't nothing new.
As we talked about in the past, though, we never put it in these terms, but there's really no slumming it anymore. I mean, the movie industry's changed so much. I mean, I know it's different, but like Robert Downey Jr. was nowhere. Superhero movies built his career back up. And now you've got all these people jumping in. And like you pointed out, and it's going to be pointed out in a few weeks, we've got Academy Award winning actress in Fate of the Furious. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And Helen Mirren? Wasn't she in Red? Is that what it was called? Yes. Yeah, Red. So you've got Academy Award-winning actors and actresses going into these movies with no shame. Just like, I'm making money. So,
They say at the end of the day, like, it's a, you know, acting is a job. Yes. And a lot of times it's like Keanu Reeves said himself, like, you know, I'm an actor because I'm good at this and I'm not good at, like, anything, like, basically anything else. And if I'm not working, I don't know what to do. And it's kind of like, these movies work when the people that are doing it doesn't feel like, when they don't feel like, oh, I'm just here for the check. Like, basically Bruce Willis syndrome, where you can kind of see it's like, I'm just going to read my lines, let's just get this over with. It's like, when they enjoy, when they enjoy doing it, then you can tell, like, this movie, the people enjoy doing, like, the kid actors, like, acted well. Like, it wasn't an issue where it took away from anything. It's funny where we talk about diversity, and it was like a white guy, an Indian girl, a Latin woman, lesbian, a black guy with autism, and an Asian guy. But even though they said, like, you know, Power Rangers, like, all shapes, all colors, like, this is always, but Power Rangers was always about that, like, yeah, diverse stuff, even back when it first came out. And at least they changed it where the Black Ranger's not black and the Yellow Ranger's not yellow. It's like, they actually made a joke about that when they get their powers. But it's funny if they're thinking about that now, like, how did nobody not notice, like, that's going to get looked a certain way when that first happened? So, but overall, like, I enjoyed it. It set up the sequel well, you know, because they'll probably do well enough to do a sequel.
Yeah.
And that was fine. And I saw Life Saturday, and it was a good movie with it was a good depressing movie with a depressing ending. Like, ugh.
Even from the previews, that the way they set up the movie, and that's without even seeing, I haven't seen it, it didn't look like it could have a happy ending.
You at least would think, like, maybe somebody would survive or something like that. You know, maybe, like, at least alien. Like, I don't know if I want to go into spoilers, but, like, imagine if you saw the first Alien and it ends with, like, Ripley being trapped with the alien and the movie goes off. Mm. Times 100.
Oh, okay.
Well. Like, it ends, like, ugh. Like, it's, I'll say it this way, Ryan Reynolds dies first, like, in the movie.
And you can kind of get that from the preview. They didn't. That was one of the problems of this movie, as they showed more previews. Like, that first one was great. Like, what the hell is going on? And it's like, oh, okay, an alien takes over in there. But there was something in the previews where you see Ryan Reynolds dies. That's not even a surprise, really.
Well, no, actually, the scene they show where he gets trapped, like, that's the way they play it. You don't think he's dying at that part when the movie happens, but he ends up dying like 15, 20 minutes later. It's kind of like, it's one of those where they make an effort to make you seem like, you know, these, because when there's always these sci-fi horror movies, the first question is like, why are these people doing this stupid stuff? Like, you see this egg, why are you sticking your head in it? Like, that type thing. And it's kind of like, they try to explain and make it a reason, like, why they're doing what they're doing and make you care about the people. Like, you know, they might take risks because they want to go home, or they may do this to save everybody, but like, people die, and they die in, like, gruesome ways, like, real horrible ways, and it ends, and my Darlene's like, why do you take me to see this shit-ass movie?
So it's another funeral movie. Great.
But not, like, funeral where you cry. It's like, funeral where it's like, ugh, this is, yeah, it's kind of like, it's been one of those types where I've been better off, like, I'm glad I saw it, but I probably would see it, like, on Netflix or HBO. Yeah. It's like one of those movies, like, I say Prisoners. Like, it's a great movie. I don't need to watch any more than once.
Well, see, that's funny, because that's you can almost make that argument for Logan, but that's, like, the way it ends, I suppose. And it was funny, because I kind of let the cat out of the bag for people at work that didn't see it, because they were asking me how it was. I was like, good. It was like leaving a funeral at the end, though. And they're like, oh, I was like, no, it's a depressing ending. And no one really talked. Everyone just kind of left. And I'm trying to cover my tracks. Like, ah, god damn it. I was that guy. Like, total mistake on my part, but it's not my fault. The movie's been out 3 weeks. So, yeah. You know, you don't know by now, whatever. Or you haven't seen it. You've had ample opportunity. So, so two thumbs up then for each, one thumb up for each movie?
I'd say two thumbs up for Power Rangers and one thumb up for Life.
All right. So. Well, I don't want to get into a big discussion about it, but you going to see Ghost in the Shell this weekend?
Yes, I'm going to see it, and I will say that the only reason I am seeing this is for the show. That's it. Like, the more, and it's funny, like, I won't go into discussion. I read reviews, and ouch. Like, the problems that was in the movie, it seemed like they just made it worse. It's kind of like one of those, it looks pretty, but it's kind of empty.
That's the hook for me, is how pretty this movie is.
Yeah, like, it looks beautiful, but like, the director knows how to make beautiful looking movies. Like, you know, Snow White, that first Snow White is a corny ass movie, but it looks great, like visual wise. So he knows we do the visual thing, but it's kind of like, yeah, I'm going to see it so we can have something to talk about. And that's the only reason I'm saying, like, I have a 4-day weekend.
Oh, okay. See, here's my thing. It's supposed to be like in the 80s, like low 80s this weekend, and sunny. It's supposed to rain Friday, and I'm on my own this weekend. She's going out of town, and now I'm not going to wrestling talk yet. But Friday night we have the Hall of Fame inductions. I'm not going to sit there and watch it, mind you. But I'm just saying it's an option. Saturday you got the NXT event, and then Sunday WrestleMania starts at noon, something like that, and goes till 11 at night. So I can sit here and watch that stuff for the $10 I paid for the month, or I can go see this movie and go, well, I don't think this is going to be very good. And I'm trying to go in with an open mind, because I've just come to the realization I own Ghost in the Shell. I've never seen it. So I get to go in there with a blank slate, at least. But at the same time, as soon as I saw it was PG-13, which we both knew it was going to be, I just kind of lost interest in it. Like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
You know? It's just... too much money to make it R, but still.
Yeah. Like, I try to go with stuff with an open mind, but it's just tough where it's like back-to-back-to-back of this type of nonsense. And people just acting like, oh, it's no big deal. And it's like, I'm getting tired of hearing it, and I'm getting tired of these movies keep failing. Movies done the right way succeeding, and then people acting like it's, oh, I invented the atomic bomb. I can't believe what I did. Like, how many times we got to keep doing this song and dance? Like, you know, it hurt. It, like, between this and the Great Wall and Iron Fist, and then, like,
I am 6 episodes into Iron Fist, by the way.
Yeah, and like some CBS. And matter of fact, before we talk about what we really want to talk about, like a perfect example, because people say, "Oh, you know, stop worrying about that. Make new roles and let's do that." CBS took a script from the guy that wrote The Martian. It's about, like, you know, NASA mission control. The main characters that the guy wrote in the script, the man is black and the woman is Latin. And what does CBS do? They get a white guy and a white woman. And roles specifically written for, like, black and Latin. So it's going to be funny when I see the CBS show and it's a white guy named Malik Stevenson. Because I hope they don't change the name. I hope they just double down. Like, if you want to keep it, no, don't change his name to Mark. Like,
No, his name is Mike. Michael.
Yeah. I just want to see people calling a white guy Malik. Like, just double down with it. So it's like...
Well, the thing is, and this is not a defense, mind you, okay? Well, no, I guess I have to, never mind. I was going to say it's CBS, but they're the ones that made LL Cool J an old white person star. So, never mind. I mean, because look at CBS's lineup. I don't watch these shows, just to make a point clear, I don't watch these shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of them look interesting. But it just seems like milk toast. So,
yeah. But don't come out, I mean, but stick to it. Like, don't come out and say, like, you know, we need to do better with diversity and we're going to start this new diversity panel to fix it. And then the first thing you do is this nonsense.
Yeah.
It's like saying, you know, I need to stop using drugs and I'm going to go to Vegas and snort some crack. Like,
you don't start
that's way to start. Exactly. That's what they did. You don't even. You smoke crack, and they basically snorted it. It's kind of like you're going to double down on the nonsense, knowing that's an issue. So, yeah, I'm going to go see it. I don't know if it's Friday, Saturday. Like, it may. One day this week. It won't be Sunday because that's Mania. But I want to. Just out of curiosity, it's like, I like Scarlett Johansson. Well, I'm like, she should have skipped this paycheck.
I don't know. So, yeah, it's so weird. Well, I mean, you can't. They're not making another Lucy. I don't think you can. So maybe she wants another franchise after her Avenger stuff rolls up.
It ain't gonna be this one. So.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. Like, I haven't seen a movie since Kong, Skull Island. That's back on the 9th of March. So my next movie's gonna be a month later, which is Fate of the Furious, basically. And then it picks up all over again. But, and that's what I'm getting at is, like, I don't. For some odd reason, I'm really into gardening and landscaping right now. And with the weather...
Because it's nice outside.
Yeah. And, like, I'm actually, like, I look forward to doing it. It's fun. So I'll go spend $15 on flowers and plant them or do whatever, or I can spend $15 to go see this thing. And it's the balance there. And I don't know, man. And speaking of Iron Fist, we're not going to talk about it, but I just got to make something perfectly clear. I don't have a problem with the show yet. Episode 6 really got on my nerves. That's when he finally fights the hand like some, what's it called? Like some video game boss levels. They introduce these people, and he somehow magically, some bald dude shows up in his head, which has never been broached the entire series. And then Ward, the guy, is it Ward? Is his name?
Mm-hmm.
He develops a pill addiction and a heroin addiction, I guess, from the heroin that he took. And I'm going, I don't care about him. I don't care about Joy. And Danny's just kind of a goofball. And then Rosario Dawson just shows up. I was like, wow, did they know they were, like, is this where it gets in trouble? And they knew it.
Guess what? You know what's funny? I was reverse feeling because it was like I started off down on it. I picked up a little bit, like, I don't remember if it was episode 4 or something like that. 6 was the last episode I enjoyed.
Uh-oh.
And it went down. Like, trust me.
I can see it going down.
That's kind of like it drops off a damn cliff. And not to go into spoilers, like, the main thing is you have all these characters that's better than him around him.
Okay.
That's basically, and
yes.
It just gets worse.
Great. Because alright, so let's talk about the first 6 episodes real quick. What I've noticed so far is Ward's a better businessman, Joy's a better lawyer, business person, which they should be because he's been on some mystical plane for 10 years or 15 years and then came back. I get that. He meets the dad, who's supposed to be dead, and he's just kind of okay with it. I'm going, well, no, this shouldn't... Why doesn't he feel any conflicted emotions about telling Joy, hey, your dad is alive? Like, every time he looks at her, he's keeping the secret from her. That's never even brought up. And maybe it gets brought up later. Okay. But even the dad looks like he should be Iron Fist. Like, what is... I know his name's Meacham. What's his first name? I can't remember.
Harold.
That's it. Harold looks like what Iron Fist should look like. Tall, kind of rugged. That guy looks like he could mess somebody up. Danny, on the other hand, he's just some goofball that got a haircut, and then they show the tattoo, and I'm like, here we go. Now he's going to morph into something. I guess it was episode 6, man. It just really bothered me. He's supposed to be fighting these guys. And just after reading about, and you telling me as well, that there were scenes where they were like, hey, we're doing a fight scene today. And he goes, oh, okay. That's not how you make a fight scene work. And it's obvious. In the beginning, the first few episodes where he's like fighting the students
Colleen.
That was my first guess, actually. He's fighting Colleen, and he's moving real slow. And you're like, okay, he's just doing this because he can cream her. So I get it. And then it keeps going. And then it goes... I was like, is he going to pick up the pace here? Like, are we actually going to get a fight? It was filmed... The example I had in my head was, it was filmed like those old 80s fight movies. And the joke that came to mind is Jean-Claude Van Damme. Jean-Claude Van Johnson, where he's like, all right, everyone attack. He's like, no, it's everybody, we have to stand around. It's one at a time or we'll hit each other. And I'm going, this is what this looks like. And they're doing camera tricks. And like, they're even trying to do the cool shots where he's punching or somebody's punching him. He moves his head out of the way. Even that looks like it's in slow-mo. Like, what's going on here? Did no one prepare? Your title character is called Iron Fist. The guy should be a badass. Outside of focusing all your, was it anger or energy inside instead of outside? Like, is this just a cover for not training this guy to fight? Because that's what it sure seems like as the series is gone.
I'm glad you said it. Like, when we one day we'll have a show where we get to talk about it. So I'm trying to save it because
I don't want to get
if I get started, I'm not going to stop. I'll just say this. Basically, what happened is this is the first time where it's a two-part thing. One, it looks cheap, and it's the first they keep stuff on a budget, but this is the first one where you can see that it's on a budget where it just looks. It feels cheap. And then the second one is this whole, we got to do something. I was making a joke with somebody. I was like, you know how WWE just has a pay-per-view? They just need that put space between something like the Royal Rumble. This feels like, you know, Fastlane. Like, we got to put this show in.
Damn it. That's a good example.
Yeah, because the Defenders has to come out by this time. We got to get ready for the Defenders, and we can't push it. For whatever reason, I don't know why, considering you own this show and Netflix doesn't care. Because they can put out stuff whenever they want. So I don't know why it's this big deal, why you got to rush stuff. But it felt like they rushed it because they had to and fit it in. Yeah. And it did no one any favors. It just looks like, ugh. All right. So
moving on. We'll stick with Marvel. Spider-Man Homecoming trailer came out. The new one. Gives you more of the story. Gives you more Spider-Man. More Vulture. More Iron Man. I thought it looked kind of cool. And Michael Keaton sure as hell looks to be intimidating in this. And I like the progression. I thought that it might have shown too much of the story, but that's okay in this case, I guess. I'm actually looking forward to seeing this now. I don't know. What'd you think?
I mean, I was already, like, it was always the whole thing where it's Spider-Man with Marvel coaching. So how can you go wrong? And I know a lot of people said the whole thing about trailers. I'm like, Marvel has this slick thing where everyone assumes they show too much, and then you watch the movie, it's like, oh, it didn't play out the way I thought I did. And it's kind of like they're trying to rope in the people that's like, why are they doing another Spider-Man? Like, we've seen this, like, the third Spider-Man I've seen in, like, 10 years. They're trying to rope them back. Like, you got to give them a reason. And sometimes you got to give them a little bit more to bring them in because they know we're going to be there. And, like, one, it's standing up, like, how vibrant it is and how colorful, too.
Yes, I really enjoy that.
Yeah, and it's like, I wish, like, you know, I don't want to get this whole everything is dark stuff, because it's not just DC, it's like movies in general just throws everything. And, like, it's not just them. It's everybody. I don't know if it's, I don't call it the Matrix camera or the Underworld filter, where everything seemed like they're just thrown in the dishwasher. And I don't know if it was in just, like, is this grayish, and I don't know if I want to blame who I want to blame. Part of me want to blame Christopher Nolan, but it just seems like a lot of people are just like allergic to color. Like, stuff used to be bright and you could see things. And beside Transformers, which is hilarious to think in hindsight, how Transformers probably one of the brightest, most colorful franchises out, has always been like dull and muted and stuff. And because even Marvel, old Marvel movies were like that. And, like, this one is, like, it pops. And you see stuff in daylight. You can see things. And it's funny, something so something like that, you can actually see things. And that's amazing. But seeing things works. So you get to see, you get to care about stuff you see. And I know a lot of people is kind of like, they made a joke saying, oh, I'm going to see Iron Man 5 featuring Spider-Man. It's like, you know why Robert Downey Jr. is in the movie. Like, it fits the, it's almost like he's playing Uncle Ben.
Yes.
With money. And it fits the story because, you know, after Hugh Jackman, Robert Downey Jr. has been playing a superhero the longest. Like, he's the backbone of Marvel movies. It's a great dichotomy between him and Peter, like, you know, keeping him out of trouble and everything. And it just fits, like, the high school vibe fits because they actually look like high schoolers. They don't look like 30-year-olds pretending to be in high school, like damn sexual predators, like Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst look.
Did I lose you?
Yeah, and it's like Michael Keaton can play sinister and threatening. Like, you know, he's got that gravitas about him, he's got that vibe, and like when he's talking about, you know, I know about family, I care about family, so don't mess with me because I'll kill you and your family. You're not used to seeing that in a Marvel trailer, somebody saying, I will kill your family, I will kill you and everybody you love.
We mentioned that in the first one too, but it still held just as much weight. Because it's, I think what made it even a little more impactful this time, to use a wrestling term, It was after Tony had taken away the armor or the spider suit that he gave to Peter. So he was doing his sweatsuit and whatever else getup that he's going to be wearing. So yes, that made it a little more like, wow, he's stripped down to this bare nothing stuff, and then you've got this guy with all the high-tech weaponry just telling you, I will kill everything. It's like, Jesus, all right, hey. Kick a man while he's down, apparently.
He's basically like, you know, a lot of times those grounded villains, they're not there for the mess. Talking about, I'm here to take over the world, and I'm here to... Some people are like, you know, I'm trying to get mine, and if you get in my way, I'm going to put you in a box. You're not used to seeing that, like... In Marvel movies, you aren't used to seeing that. Like, you used to seeing that, like, Marvel Netflix, and you used to seeing that with S.H.I.E.L.D. But the movie, and it's funny, you wouldn't think something had that type of serious vibe that fits the movie with Spider-Man. But I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it. Like, you know, it just looks awesome. It's going to make a boatload of money because, one, it's Spider-Man. Two, Iron Man's in it. You know, it's like most of the Marvel movies that hit $1 billion and over, they all have Iron Man in it. So, and people are like excited to see it. Like, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing this and finding time to see it. I may try to see it in IMAX, actually, if possible.
Yeah, that's when I saw Kong Skull Island in IMAX. It was quite the difference. So, yeah, it's getting, and obviously Fate of the Furious I'll be seeing in IMAX, because there is not a chance in hell I'm not seeing it like that. So, in sort of Marvel / DC news now, well, I don't know if I want to talk about Batgirl or Justice League. I mean, since it was a trailer.
I'd rather talk about Justice League first, because it kind of like translates. And it's funny like this little game Marvel and DC are kind of playing with each other, where Justice League dropped their trailer, and then like a couple of days later, Spider-Man just happened to have one ready, and people making a comparison. And instead of like saying which one is better or worse, I'm happy we have both. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy I have the choice of both. And it's funny where the main thing I noticed with this one is like, it looks fun. Like, I don't know if it's going to be good, but it seemed like it was, I'm hoping it's good, but it's kind of like, it's Zack Snyder. You kind of know which again, like he has his positives, he has his negatives, and it's kind of like, if he has somebody that's kind of like keeping him in control, great. If not, then yeah. But the main thing I know is like, this is kind of like, they like, they're having fun, like enjoying themselves. Like the sight of Aquaman riding on the Batmobile like a dude bro from college.
How cool was that?
Was just awesome. It's kind of like Jason Momoa, like he's just having a grand old time. Like, hold my beer, we about to save the world.
Yeah, like all those memes you see. It's like, you can't eat 57 slices of pizza in 2 seconds or something. It's like, hold my beer. It's like, yeah. No, I wasn't expecting that. And I'm kind of wondering, and of course, this is only a 2-minute trailer. I am wondering about the relationship between the characters. And it also makes me wonder, is Aquaman going to be used more so than everybody else? Because he's the next movie after this. Which is not a bad thing in my eyes, because he looks fun. I mean, I don't know how good of an actor he is, because I'm only familiar with that part of a movie, Conan, and then him not speaking English in Game of Thrones.
Oh, Bullet in the Head.
I never saw that. Villain.
Oh, he's an awesome, like, villain in that one. Him and Stallone going at it is hilarious. No, you know what's funny? It's like, he looks one way. It's almost, I'm trying to think the best way to describe him. It's kind of like I was talking about how with Kate Beckinsale, it's kind of like, since she looks so beautiful, people cast her that way and not realize like she's really perfect as being like a bitch with a sense of humor. And it's almost like John Hamm, when John Hamm looks the way he looks, but he's best when he's playing like a weirdo or a scuzzball. Like Jason Momoa looks like a cover model, but he's like a dude bro. Like I saw some video and he's like, yeah, like when he was on a set of like Justice League Aquaman, like he's drinking a beer, like I like to drink beer and throw axes. He's knocking down a beer, he picks up an axe and throws in the bullseye, and then gets the beer and just start drinking again.
Well, I remember, like, seeing him promoting Conan before a UFC event, and he was clearly intoxicated, and Joe Rogan's trying to reel him in, and he just kept talking about how awesome it was that he was at the UFC event. I don't remember which one it was. And Rogan's like, don't you have something you want to promote? He's like, oh, yeah, man. God, I'm Conan now. It was like that. It's like, yeah, I forgot all about it. He was great. And I don't know, because I've seen comments about his acting, and I don't know enough. But going back to this trailer, this looks like a completely different Aquaman, one that people have ever seen. Obviously, the look is totally different. In the comics, you know, he's got the blonde hair and doesn't have a beard anymore. But the Peter David version, when he got his hand chewed off, he started to look like basically a Greek god or Roman god, whatever you want to put it, with the hair and beard and all that stuff. Kind of like Poseidon or Neptune. I almost said Triton. I'm mixing my Greek, Roman, and Aquaman mythology together. So, but he looks different, and it looks like the character is going to be a little different too. Like him, the Batmobile thing doesn't surprise me, but when he jumps up and he goes, "You're dressed like a bat," I dig it. I was like, "What? That's not how Aquaman talks." I was like, "Okay, let's see where this goes." Unless it's something about him trying to relate to surface dwellers.
I mean, he's been around, like, the way they, like, the few things you've seen is kind of like he's been around, like, you know, like, he saves the fisherman, he's like, you know, grabs the beard, talking about he gets out the tab. Like, this ain't his first, it's not like the whole thing, like, you know, I'm new to humans. Like, he's been around the block.
Yeah.
The way, and I think it's more like they're going to focus on the new characters because, one, they're new, and two, like, we like you don't really got it. Like, you know Batman, you know Wonder Woman, Superman, and to a lesser extent because of CW show, you know
Superman's
the Flash.
Superman's not in this movie. Didn't you see the trailer?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the end of Batman versus Superman too, so
yeah.
But it's kind of like, and you've seen the Flash, so it seems like more it's kind of like we're going to focus on the people you may not have seen, because most people don't know Aquaman, and a lot of people that do treat him like he's a joke character, and people barely know Cyborg. I will say the thing that got the most laughs out of me is when the Flash asks Batman what's his superpower, and he's like, "I'm rich," because that's it's just so on the nose, and I'm glad they touched it, because it's kind of like you got Wonder Woman doing all the stuff she can do, Aquaman, the Flash, Cyborg, and then you got this guy, you know, basically with unlimited credit. Like, what's this thing? I do push-ups and I got money. And at least they didn't, like, try to hide it. Like, you know, Batman's got force of will and yada, 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 and all that crap. So I will say I laughed a lot more than I thought I would at that line, because it was just – he just said it so nonchalantly.
Yeah, and I get the – oh, sorry.
Yeah, and, like, seeing Ben Affleck basically play, like, you know, gruff Uncle Batman in the joke – Commissioner Gordon said, you know, "I'm glad to see you working well with others," and he's like, "You know, I'm working on that." Like, this whole, like, everybody knows Batman, like, this Batman universe is a dickhead, and every kind of acknowledge it more or less.
Yeah, and I get the feeling though that'll be touched up on again with the Flash. Like, Batman will do something incredible, you know, like Batman always does, and then Flash will be like, "Oh, okay, no, it's more than just being rich." Because I like the funny line, but I can't see that going without someone acknowledging that there's something else, you know. Even though, I mean, he doesn't have any superpowers.
Yeah, and they acknowledge, like, "Oh, so they that's why you're really Batman. You dress like a bat." Like,
yeah.
I mean, he's obviously somebody that's like this whole thing's like Batman's, because the Flash knew who he was. Like, "Oh, you're Batman." Like, he knows. Like, Batman's a thing, because this is a Batman that's been around for a while. So he's obviously somebody important enough that they're following him, because they all have powers and this. Yeah. Like, and he's not necessarily Superman. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing. Like, I don't know how good it'll be. I'm hoping it's good. I'm not one of those type that say that I want to see it fall on his face and everything, because it's something that people may not pay attention to. And I was brought up to somebody when it's kind of like this whole "let's hope it fails to reboot." I'm like,
no.
You know how long it took between Superman 4 and Superman Returns? You want to guess?
I actually listened to Brandon Routh. Was it 20 years, I think?
21 years.
Yes. Yeah, Brandon Routh was on the Nerdist. So.
Yeah. And that's Superman. And then between Superman Returns and Man of Steel was another 7 years. Like, between Batman and Robin, Batman Begins was 8 years. You really want to wait? People always say, "Oh, I hope they fail." I was like, "What do you think gonna happen? It's not like DC's gonna go bankrupt and Marvel's gonna buy the movies." It's like, if they still want to have the rights. And this whole maybe if it fell, Quentin Tarantino can do it. And I'm like, yeah, you really want to wait a decade before another Batman movie? Like,
it's also, it's like, do you not understand that's not how it works? Like, if it fails, if it's a failed property, I know you used him as an example, but it's like, do you really think an A-list director is going to be like, I'm going to take this over and save it? It's like, no, we got my own stuff I want to do. No one wants to be attached to a loser project. So it's like having this fail. I'm going to say Wonder Woman better be damn good. Because if not, I think it's really going to hurt this one. Because, you know, Wonder Woman's first, then Justice League, and then Aquaman after that. So it's like, I had my problems with the trailer, and it was something we talked about last week. And my first thing I said was, it's so dark. And I saw some comments like, is everything take place at night in the DC universe? Like,
No. I made the joke. I'm like, you saw all that damn damage Superman caused in Man of Steel. I'm like, I'm surprised it's not an ice age with all the damn smog knocking down basically the equivalent of three cities. Like, how you think it's all just like a bunch of dirt and ground? I'm like, that's how it really looked. It wouldn't be this whole, oh, we had aliens invade on a Monday and we fixed everything by Sunday. Like, that's not how real life works. It's not like everybody had their fish in Japan. So it does look like dark and dreary, and it's kind of like, have the light on for once. And I will say this, and it's not just DC, it's Marvel. It's like, if it's not the Power Rangers and it's not the Ninja Turtles, we need to move away from these faceless monsters that all look the same.
Yeah, the parademons in this case.
I'm like, that's what the Foot Clan is for. Like, have villains that have this, like, you can see them, that's, like, noticeable. Because it makes a difference when you actually care about the villains. I know Marvel have this thing, like, you know, it's hero-based, and that's why we do this and everything like that. But one of the reasons why Civil War stood out is because you saw who they were fighting. They weren't fighting, like, robots or mindless aliens like that. They were fighting each other, and you care. When you care about the people you're fighting about, it matters. And I know it's kind of like they're not going to fight people, because it's like, that's not going to be a fair fight, the Flash fighting goons or Batman fighting senior citizens. Like, it normally, like, when they say Batman's basically spent his life beating up crazy old senior citizens with mental issues.
Pretty much, yeah.
Like a bully, like, really, like, how is the Penguin going to beat Batman?
All right.
Like, stuff like that. Yeah. So, but I see the same thing you see. Like, it looks dark and dreary, and Zack Snyder likes his dark and dreary stuff. And it's funny how he's so anti-color, considering how much he used color with 300 and Watchmen. And it's like, now it's like, what, you got allergic? You went colorblind or
he
something?
He made Sucker Punch, and that was the end.
Yeah.
But
please don't put that up again.
Yeah, I know. But we got Sucker Punch looked so cool. Oh god, that was so bad. Anyways, a bright spot though, which is another Marvel DC thing, which is kind of interesting. There's been the rumor of a female-led DC movie coming out. Well, today it was announced Josh Whedon is attached to write, produce, and direct the Batgirl movie for the same universe of the Justice League for DC. Where the hell did this come from?
It came, the name, it's funny where with this industry, it's like comics get to pick and choose who they want. And that's a surprise, because Joss Whedon seemed burnt out from what happened with the Avengers movies, especially with the second one, and like all the flack he got. And a lot of it was kind of like deserved, with like he made like the whole stuff of Black Widow probably just. It's funny thinking about that, because Joss Whedon was always put on this pedestal, like a man that knew how to draw like women characters well and give them empowering. But it's kind of like 90s empowerment, because a lot of stuff now just look weird. That whole I'm 80 pounds and I can beat up everybody by like dancing kung fu stuff, like he started that. Like, you watch Serenity and like Summer Glau, like that whole how are these small chicks beating up these big dudes barely fighting like Iron Fist?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that
whole happened in thing. Iron Fist too. So
yeah, it's kind of like that started that whole waifu trope kind of started with him.
Yeah,
and it's funny where a lot of the stuff doesn't hold up as well as it used to. It just looks weird now. So I know, like, a lot of people were excited. A lot of people were like, I don't know. Like, and I'm kind of like, I was more surprised than anything because it seemed like he was burnt out and kind of like, I want to move to small stuff. So to jump in and get another chance, it's kind of like, I don't know, Batgirl's known, but how known is she? Like, I don't know how much pressure it would be doing it. I'm in like a weird thing where it's, I don't know. That's like my whole thing when I read the story is like, I wasn't excited as I thought I'd be because it's kind of like, it just seemed out of nowhere. And it's like, I hope, I'm at the thing where like, I hope it's a good thing. I hope he kind of learned from mistakes he made and I hope he is updating stuff. And then it's the whole thing where, I don't know, maybe as I'm getting older, I notice it more. When men direct women a lot of times with these type of things, and it's kind of like they direct it funny. Like they, I don't know. It's just like, I call it like Catwoman syndrome almost, where it's kind of like it just looks sometimes weird and sometimes creepy. And it's supposed to look heroic and stuff like that because it's like they know some stuff and I call it Michael Bay syndrome. Because Michael Bay has a way like, he probably does it on purpose, whatever. Like, he wants his women to look strong in a certain way, but it's always looking like you watching a music video, like you gazing from your couch and looking out your window. Yeah. And it's kind of like,
that's definitely Michael Bay syndrome.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, you feel like a pervert sometimes. And it's not that bad with Joss Whedon, but a lot of times it comes off like, I know it's supposed to be strong, but it's kind of like insulting strong. Like, you know, she's a certain type of strength with kung fu, but as soon as she runs into like a man that doesn't love her, she falls into pieces and everything. Cause I remember watching like the whole Age of Ultron thing, and I'm like, how did this happen? Like, okay, you remember watching Winter Soldier's, like, okay, you see her, she just badass, she's flirting with Captain America and everything, showing a little bit of vulnerability, but she's a badass. And then this one is like, she's all googly-eyed over the Hulk, and he like, I don't know if I should or shouldn't. Yeah. And like,
here's part of the problem. Here's the problem with that. One, there was a passage of time that we never saw. So that when we got into Age of Ultron, all of a sudden, they were not a thing, obviously, but they were a thing. And you're looking going, where the hell did this come from? It was just added into the movie. If there was some sort of subtext to it or background story or just something, instead of just two total misfit, like not really her, I guess, but him as this misfit character, and you're looking at it going, well, whatever happened to Betty? So there's
who?
One thing.
That's what they basically treat like, ooh, yeah. It's kind of like, yeah.
And then you got like, huh? I mean, the decision to give Hawkeye a family kind of messed things up. Because that's, you know, there was always the goofy, that was actually more confident flirting between her and Hawkeye, which turned out to just be totally platonic. Like, okay, that's not how it was written, but sure. That was the whole thing there that made no sense. It's like, I don't get this. So maybe it would be better with something behind it, but I don't know. It's like all of a sudden a dog runs through the room and everyone looks and just goes back to their business. You're like, hey, no one's going to acknowledge a dog just ran on set? Like, this doesn't make any sense. But
yeah,
all right. I'm fine with it. I don't think it's gonna happen. I don't have confidence that it'll happen because if he was burned out on a Marvel movie, but they also have a much more meticulous working environment where DC just interferes for whatever reason.
Yeah, I'm thinking this one is kind of like, it's not just he's directing. It's like, this is yours, you get to do it. And you notice that with DC is like, when they let you do stuff, they let you do stuff. It's when they not sure. I think hopefully they learned a lesson with Suicide Squad, because it's kind of like, you know, David Ayer wanted to do one thing, they got scared off and wanted to do another thing, and it was like it was basically like Fantastic Four syndrome, where it was you see two movies trying to fit into one, and it's like this, it could have been something different if they just let him do it. It's like, if you're gonna change it all the way. Don't have like this mismatch stuff. And hopefully, at least like Joss Whedon has more clout, because it's like, you know, he's Joss Whedon, he's done stuff, he's a known name. So it's like,
yeah,
leave him. And it's like, you know, for all the talk people talk about Age of Ultron, it still made over $1 billion. It still made a shitload of money.
That's the only resume he needs. Is it? Do you see all these zeros right here?
Yeah, like,
and then points at himself, and then just goes
like, "Oh, what's the last two things he did? Oh, the Avengers movies. You remember those? Like, two of the top 10 blockbuster movies of all time. Yeah. I directed both of them. That's what I did. Like, what's the last thing you did? Like, get out my face and let me do this. So if it's like that, and let him like, because I, you know, I actually watched Buffy when it came on. I enjoyed the hell out of Buffy a lot more than I thought I did. I like Angel too. Like, he's talented. I just hope it's good. I have no idea if it's happening or not, because like all these names dropping, this person's doing this, that person's doing that. Yeah, they can't figure out what they want to do, and it's kind of like, I think it's the TV show is the best and worst thing that happened, because everything keeps getting, even with the TV show struggling now, people still comparing the TV show, and it's like, you know, I got the TV show doing this, and people already don't like the costume, and it's like, he doesn't look like your traditional Flash, and it doesn't help where directors keep saying thanks but no thanks and keep leaving. It's like, it shouldn't be that hard to do these movies. And they, like, you know, we talked about with Batman, like, it's fucking Batman. How hard is it? Like, you got Jeff Johns and Ben Affleck, and now he stepped aside. You got Matt Reeves, who knows what he's doing, and apparently they start from, so I'm like, take as long as you want to, because people will wait for Batman. It's even more than Superman. It's Batman. Like, Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises both made over $1 billion back when movies weren't making $1 billion like they are now. So let them do what they need to do, stay out their way, and let them cook. Just do that.
And here's the thing with Batgirl. You know, we just got done talking about how dark Justice League was. This, and Wonder Woman looks kind of dulled on the colors as well. Not the Justice League proportion, mind you. But Batgirl, if done, and hopefully done right, this could be the movie to finally, like, embrace comics. Because, you know, she's the newer version of Batgirl is, it's the same character, Barbara Gordon, but she's got a much, it's kind of, it's a Spider-Man sort of sense. Like, you know, it's not doom and gloom. It's not sour all the time. She embraces being a hero. She deals with everyday things, that sort of stuff. And this is the movie where DC can finally be like, all right, this is where we're changing. And get it going. And it doesn't have to be a big movie either. I'm sure they're going to give it $150 million for whatever reason. But Batgirl doesn't have the gadgets Batman does. Batgirl doesn't have the problems, the sour disposition. Her dad's the police commissioner, and she runs around town either swinging from building to building or on a motorcycle. So you go bare bones, you do get, like, here, just here's your money, give us a movie, and then come back. And if it sucks, you know what, if he comes back and you're like, oh, I don't know if we should put this out, put it out anyways, get your money back and go, hey, look, and people probably will enjoy it. Because you can't have a dark Batgirl. You just can't do it. So
you're not gonna have Batgirl have a one night stand with Batman to get, and then Batman gives her the cold shoulder.
So WrestleMania's this weekend. Jesus. I haven't seen that, but that's just so dumb. You guys can figure that one out. But anyways, to wrap the show up.
You mean, oh, we're partners, but we're not equals, nowhere close. You don't want to see that on the screen?
Nope.
It set women relations back 80 years?
Nope. I don't know if that's true or not. I read about it. I'm like, I have the comic. I don't need to see it.
That's a line. He actually said that with a straight face. Like, we may be partners, but we are not equals, nowhere close.
Well, I mean, they're really not.
I mean, but you going to say that after break?
Oh, gosh, that's harsh.
After doing the damn deed, after having sex with her and then stop returning her phone calls. And then it goes to the part of the killing joke that you remember, like her getting shot and all. Like, yeah, so let's own the wrestling.
Jesus Christ, what a horrible decision. Anyway, speaking of horrible decisions, was gonna do like a wrap up for WrestleMania week, but really not a whole lot of news is broke. I don't know. One of the Facebook groups we're in, that question about do you regret not going? It's not that I regret not going to WrestleMania this year. I just still kind of wish I went. Because we talked about this off air. It's more fun to be a fan. Like, I'm still critical of it. I'll still point out things I don't like or something doesn't make sense. But I still enjoy, like, I finally figured out, and I was listening to another podcast, and someone was talking about wrestling, and he goes, wrestling's fucking awesome. He goes, that's why I watch it. He's like, if you don't like it, well, fuck you. And I was like, you know what? I don't know why I haven't had that, of all my shitty attitude problems, I don't know why I never took that one on. But wrestling's fucking awesome to watch. So I finally kind of embraced, like, going and being around all the wrestling fans. And yeah, we make fun of them, and some very much so should be. But then there's the other ones where it's just fun. Walking around town, some idiots dressed like Randy Savage at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday. Like, what? Well, okay, whatever. So it's just fun. And that, I think that's what I miss the most. It's going to be like the environment, just being there. And
because what other event that you would think of where... Because I remember when I went to Miami, where I'm sitting with two natives from Miami on one side, and then like a family from like Sweden and Ireland next to me, and we're watching wrestling. Like, mm-hmm. Where else are you gonna get people? People spend drop 4 and 5 figures WrestleMania. Like, I remember when I have to go to travel on a plane, I spend like $2,000 to $3,000. Like, you know, the whole counting the tickets and the hotel and the flight, like, people dropping money to see this. And like, if you're going to do all that, you're not doing it just to, like, I never got the whole idea. And I'm going to say anything like, why? Because it's fun. And I'm a grown ass man. I can do what I want. That's why I watch wrestling. Like, you can't come to me talking about, you know, it's fake. And then you talking about Game of Thrones. Like, you know, a fucking dragon's fake, too. Like, you know, winter ain't really coming with ice zombies.
Yeah.
And you only had that conversation, like, this whole idea. And, like, WWE comes on SportsCenter now. Like, it's a main, like, it's been around, and it's type of thing where everybody knows, and every, like, you go there, have fun. Like, that part I will miss. But this is the first time in 6 years that I haven't gone. So this will be the first time I've actually watched it at home and heard commentary and be at home in a while. So I'm curious to see how it is, because I know a lot of times we compare, like, a lot of shows seem to be better in person than on TV, and sometimes vice versa. And I'm wondering how it's going to be this one. And it's like, I'm actually looking forward to, like, sitting down, relaxing, not have to worry about traffic, not worry about my seat or food, and watching on the network on my projection screen, my man cave, having fun. So, and it doesn't bother me not going this year, because I know I'm going next year. So.
Yeah, oh yeah, we're trying to rope people that don't watch wrestling into going next year, because that was a good ass time in New Orleans. We got the hotel downtown, walked everywhere. We didn't even have a car. We took a taxi from the airport. It was fantastic, and then we just walked to the stadium, walked back, walked to Raw, walked back. It was great. So. That's what I'm looking forward to next year. And then that environment for New Orleans, being on Bourbon Street, I mean, where else do you see, like, a group of Chinese people dressed up like the League of Nations or something? It wasn't League of Nations, but they were dressed up. I think it was, what was Bobby, the Heenan family. Each one was dressed up as, like, one of the Heenan family. And I was like, look at this. It was just fun. So
New Orleans is probably, if it's not number one, it's like top three, like, perfect places to have WrestleMania, because it's like, one, it's easy to get around, day drinking,
yes,
and it's fun. It's a fun vibe anyway. Like, I love, like, from people I talked to, a lot of people love New Orleans night. And then of course, like, you got memories kind of like, oh, that's the one Daniel Bryan won.
Yes. I think that did help it, too, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of like you got to see that, because I remember how that show ended, and I had goosebumps, because it's kind of like you never thought you'd see it, even though you knew it should. So the fact, it's kind of like, I doubt that a wrestler will ever have an experience like that, because keep in mind, he beat Evolution clean. Mm-hmm. By him in one night. Like, he beat Triple H in the beginning and beat Randy Orton and Batista at the end. And it's like, you are never going to. It's like somebody coming back and beating The Shield like 3 years from now.
It was. And just everyone doing yes, just walking around.
Yeah.
And that's where the John Cena sucks comes from. You know, the John Cena sucks. That was from Raw the next day, which. No one remembers this. No one mentions this. That Raw after WrestleMania was the last public appearance for the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
I mean, to bring it down a notch. But even then...
Yeah,
even
I remember
then,
watching that. Yeah, I remember watching that scene, like, you know, because I remember at first it was like, is he okay?
Because
he looked kind of shaky, but then he was giving the speech and everything, and it's like, this is awesome. And then what was like the next day or something like that?
Thursday.
A couple.
Yeah, it was Thursday.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he died. And I'm like, we just, like, it's just weird. Like, we just saw him on TV. And it's just funny thing. Like this weekend, it's kind of like, you know, Kurt Angle. And I was reading the story they had on The Ringer. And it's like, he should be dead by all accounts. Like, he was talking about, like, he was on Vicodin Extra Strength. And he was taking, like, up to 65 pills a day. And
I don't know if people understand.
Kurt Angle.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said... For some reason, I missed that, and I thought you were talking about the Ultimate Warrior. I was like, oh, well, no shit, that's why he died. Okay, oh. Never mind.
And to take an account, like, people may not, you know, when you hear about pills and wrestling, like, you don't think it's a big deal, they take that. I'm like, those are extra. For one, they don't even make that strength anymore for health reasons. Two, when they did, the max that people recommend you took was, like, 6 a day. If you had to. Normally, it's like you take that, like, 3 or 4, 6. He's taking 65. He was saying, like, he woke up to take 18. Do people, like, and it's kind of like, that's, it's amazing when you hear those stories, especially me as a pharmacist. Like, yeah, the fact that he's still alive is just amazing. And I'm glad, like he said, you know, I was in a horrible place, and I'm glad I cleaned up. And it was like, you can see, I know a lot of people were kind of mad when he left. But as time went by, it's like if we don't get rid of him, we can't have him down our watch. Like, he's going to die in a ring if we don't stop this. Yeah. And I'm glad, you know, like you said, you know, he said he doesn't know if he's going to wrestle again, and they told him straight up, like, if you do, you got to take a physical first, and if it wrestle, it'll be like a part time thing. I'm just glad to see him back and see him, like, you know, back in WWE, just for the whole selfish thing. A proper DVD. If he wrestles, I mean, just the whole thing. Like, if he wrestles one or two more times, that's like icing on the cake. If not, like, I'm glad to see that. I'm looking forward to WrestleMania. I don't really care so much who wins or loses. Like, I know, I guess they talked about the SmackDown matches.
Who's that? Chris and Kevin? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, the Raw ones are funny where it's like funny where it's kind of like, that the matches I'm looking forward to on a Raw thing the most is Reigns, Undertaker, and a title match. Like, Roman Reigns was being a dickhead Monday. He was embracing being the damn heel. Like, and not the whole, like, wishy-washy thing. He's coming like, I don't give a damn who it is. John Cena, such and such. Yeah, I said him. And yeah, Undertaker, like, I'm the man now. You can kiss my ass type vibe. And when Undertaker did the whole promo and had the cough, you know, had the casket and the grave and everything like that, and then he pops up. Roman Reigns didn't break his sweat. He had this smirk on his face, like, yeah, he's behind me, and he's doing this hocus pocus stuff. Just turned around, looked at him like, that shit don't mean nothing to me. And it's weird how they're playing that. Like, he's almost kind of like, kiss my ass, Undertaker. It's my time. Like, I'm taking your spot.
Yeah. And so we've talked off air about this, but I think, well, Kevin and I did a Raw prediction preview show, And we both took, well, I think he took Undertaker. I got to look that up. We'll have the staff predictions posted tomorrow for those interested. I don't want to see this because I don't want to see poor withered Undertaker losing to Roman Reigns, who, as you just pointed out, and as we talked about off air, if he's going to be a heel, be a goddamn heel already. And Monday night, as we were recording, and I was making fun of the fact that Triple H said Roman Reigns is our number one heel. I was like, okay, cool. Then stop putting him in ads saying what a great daddy is. You jerk off. I mean, you don't see Kevin Owens doing that stuff. But
it cracks me up how that bothers people so much. Like, I always like go ahead, but I've got the whole, like, I want to hear Nikki Bella and Stephanie McMahon belittle people and then talk about be a star on a commercial.
The be a star thing is just knowing, like, the backstage stuff from WWE, and it's just kind of laughable, especially with the apparent JBL treatment of Moro, which is a possible trigger for his depression, which I think is kind of unfair, but anyways, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But I was happy to see that Monday. I'm not happy to see Undertaker go out there and kind of stroll around and get beaten. You know,
what's funny, like...
No, wait. Not for the fact that he's going to lose, okay? Mm. It's just that is what it is. I just don't... I don't want to see my broken down stars. Or, like, I almost said heroes, but I don't want to see the broken down guys get out there. And he was clearly hurting the one Monday after, I think, putting Braun over the top rope or something. He was clearly hurting and favoring his hip that's been bothering him. So it's like, oh, man. So that's my thing with that. And if Roman wins, it's going to make that crowd go crazy, and that's great.
I think that's going to add to it because it's like people are going to hate everything about it. It's like, you know, it's the right thing to do with Undertaker losing, and it's a good chance that this is it. Like, you know, this may be, like, his body is kind of like, we make the thing like, you know, he regenerates a year. Like, he's in his 50s, and it gets harder and harder to stay in shape, you know, considering, just think about the past, what, 6-7 years he's wrestled twice a year for the most part. It's been some years where he's had, like, you know, multiple matches. It was like, I'm wrestling once a year because my body can't handle it. And that's been a while, so... And now it's kind of, I remember, like, a couple years ago when he looked old, he had the gray hair. Like, the Lesnar match, it was like, that's the first time he looked old. And then he came back the next year, had his hair dyed, and it's like, that's, oh, you know, he just needs some rest, he looks better. And now it's like, it's not that he looks old, he's moving old. And, people know, it's kind of like, this is probably it, so, and he doesn't have the undefeated streak, so why win? It's like, it doesn't benefit him.
Yeah.
And it definitely, like, if you want, I know they say whatever they say, it's enough people in there, like, you know what's going to happen if Roman Reigns beats down the Undertaker in his last match. It's going to look like a bully beating up your hero. Like, I remember my uncle used to be able to dunk on the basketball court, and now here's this punk rubbing his face in the sand. Like, nobody wants to see that, and that's perfect. Like, if you're going to play that up, play it up. Like, have him carried out on a damn stretcher. Like, have him hate. Like, if you want him hated, have him hated. Have him go all the way. Like, hit him with a Superman punch. Pull him up at 2. Hit him with, like, 3 spears. Like, do that whole when Brock Lesnar bullied John Cena thing. Like, go with it. And, like, you might as well, if you're going to do that, and if the rumor is true where they're going to move him to SmackDown to keep him away from Brock Lesnar to build up for a year, do it. Have him be... He works as a heel. He works as a dickhead. Like, people want to hate him. He can definitely play. I'm like, go with it. If you're going to do it, do it. Don't half-ass. And I would love to see Roman Reigns on SmackDown with SmackDown booking. Like, I think that'd be perfect. Because they... I don't know what it is about SmackDown. Like, Kevin and we all be like, SmackDown is the asshole brand where people get to embrace being assholes. And what's better than asshole Roman Reigns?
Yeah.
Just being a dickhead and beating people up and everybody hating it. Because you know what's going to happen? He is going to end up being the most popular man at WWE because people are going to love cheering for him because they can't help themselves.
That's what... I don't know if... Now, not to sound like insider, but I don't know if Vince McMahon wants him to be on SmackDown, though. You know? He's still regarded really highly, and SmackDown, as good as I think it is, I don't think they want to put their top guys on there.
I mean, it's funny you say that, but look who the first three people they put on SmackDown was: John Cena, Randy Orton, and AJ Styles. Like, John Cena is still John Cena. Randy Orton was the golden boy for the longest, and AJ Styles was basically Ric Flair. Like, I know it's the idea, like, Raw is the flagship show, but they get money from both shows. I don't think he cares that much anymore. That's like, if SmackDown looks better at Raw, because, like, I still run SmackDown, too. Like, and they both on USA. USA's not going to care, because they're going to get money. I doubt Vince, like, I think fans care more than Vince does when it comes to this.
Yeah. It would be awesome to see him on SmackDown, especially. I know there are writers for SmackDown, but I'm convinced the writers are like, here's an outline. Go be a dick. Got it. No problem. Just go out there. It's like, wait, you're the baby face. Too late. He already went through the curtain. I mean, I don't know. But I'm intrigued by this WrestleMania. I know we got totally off the topic of WrestleMania, but the Undertaker match, you know, will be later. They are ending with Goldberg and Lesnar.
That makes – I mean, it's the title.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, oh boy.
What match would you end with if it's not that match?
Oh, no. Well, you could make the argument for Undertaker and Reigns, especially if it is Undertaker's last match.
No, you're right.
I was just saying,
I would say this, as somebody who was at New York and watched the coronation of John Cena as he pinned The Rock and The Rock raised his hand and that got shitted on by a whole bunch of New Yorkers, you really want WrestleMania ending with Roman Reigns?
Well, unless he loses, I guess. I mean, I don't think there's any chance he loses, but unless he loses, you could.
Yeah. That's the only way I could see it. Like, it's precedence where the title match had been a landmark, like, because I remember the Shawn Michaels Undertaker match 2 ended, because it's kind of like, we learned our lesson the first year, and it's like, yeah, we're not doing this again. But then again, it's kind of like, that was Undertaker in better shape, and that was Shawn Michaels. And it's kind of like, Shawn Michaels, and then it's like kind of like Shawn Michaels retiring. So, yeah. And the same thing is kind of like, it's Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. Like, it's funny where certain fans don't want to pay attention to that. Like, they're big names. Like, people who may not watch wrestling anymore know who Brock Lesnar is and knows who Goldberg is. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's 2017 and these two people are fighting for the title is just amazing. And I'm just hoping Goldberg doesn't have a heart attack. Did you see pictures of that ramp?
Yeah, Orlando. What a weird stage. Yeah.
That's a long-ass ramp. I'm like, no wonder Shaq was like, I'm skipping WrestleMania. That's like a three-minute walk. And you can imagine, like, if I'm the Undertaker, I'm like, I'm either going to need a horse or I'm just going to teleport in the ring. I'm just imagining how long the entrance is. So, like, between, like, because you know Triple H is going to have a long entrance. You know Bray Wyatt is going to have one. Undertaker, Goldberg making that walk is like, I'm going to feel sorry for all the big guys that's got to walk down that ramp.
Well, they kind of got away with that for the Royal Rumble. But what I'm thinking also
They had segues. It's kind of like, how you going to hide that?
Well, and I can think for the Undertaker, if you put the dry ice, you know, the smoke, whatever, put him on one of those two-wheel things that were all the rage a year or so ago. Then he can just slowly roll down the ring, so it looks like he's floating down to the ring.
Yeah. I remember one year when they had the ramp was actually, was it when he wrestled Orton and the ramp was just moving? When it's like the whole, like the entranceway was like, it was like a airport ramp. Like he didn't even move his feet and he just slid his ass. I remember that because like Undertaker has had some nice, I'm looking forward to the entrances. I'm looking forward to the matches. Like, I'm wondering how long that Goldberg-Lesnar match, I'm thinking it's going to go around 10 minutes, not counting entrances and everything like that. Because it can't go a minute. It can't go a minute, 2 minutes again. Like, no. And it's not going to go as long as, like, last year with Reigns and Triple H. That thing felt like that went forever. Yeah. Like,
well, I saw this thing about Goldberg being physically miserable, so.
Yeah.
I'm guessing this is the end, so if you want to push it.
And
but
no,
yeah, oof.
What it was is he was talking about it's a pain in the ass to look like this at my age. And it is. It's like he's walking around when he's like 49, 50 with a like cut up with a six pack and he's trying to do it in a natural way. Like, you, that is difficult to do. No, that is extreme. Yeah. And I'm giving kudos to all these people in their 40s. Like, seeing Triple H moving around like he's a wide receiver doing jump rope and all these things. The Rock looking the way he looked. Like, even X-Pac, like, I'm in the best shape of my life. I stopped doing drugs. Like, X-Pac's walking around with a six-pack. Think about the life he's lived. He's in his mid-40s, like, ripped. Like, it takes work to look like that. And especially, like, you're wrestling, like, I bet he is miserable. Like, I gotta eat. Like, that's the one, like, we talk about with Hugh Jackman all the time. Eating chicken breast and broccoli gets old, especially if you've done it for a decade and you're in your mid-40s. And he's just acting. He's not wrestling. So, yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, it lasted a lot longer than we thought. If it's time to go, it's time to go. Like, it's funny where Brock Lesnar's the young up-and-comer in this.
Yes. Yeah, he's 10 years younger than him, right? Because Brock's like, only 42?
I don't even know if he's 40 yet. He's like, 39. He might be, I think he's like a little younger than John Cena. Like, which is amazing, like, because how long he's been around. And, yeah, he was born in 77.
He's 39. Yeah.
39.
Goldberg's 50. I think Undertaker turns, I believe, 53 Saturday, if I remember right. March 24th, so he just turned 52. Never mind. Yeah, that's nuts, man. But
yeah,
that's the last. It's not that Goldberg's a huge deal, but it's Goldberg's last match, possibly Undertaker's last match. Supposedly Nikki Bella's calling it quits after this WrestleMania too. So, and I tried looking up to see if Al Roker was an ordained minister, because I'm trying to figure out why the hell he's in it, other than John Cena's on the Today Show a bunch, but he's not. So there goes my idea.
He gonna hit him with the attitude adjustment, get the pin, and have Al come in like, hurry up, let's get this over with. But yes, you know what? It's funny. Weddings and wrestling works, even though they shouldn't, because it's either like it's memorable in a good way, and it's usually memorable when, because they usually don't work. It's kind of like they about to get married, something bad happens, but they're never boring.
No,
but it takes. I couldn't imagine they actually do this. Like, he proposed to her at WrestleMania. Like, it's not, it's John Cena. Like, I know he's part-time and everything like that, but we're not talking about, you know, mid-card, like Teddy Long and Crystal. But, or even like when Tess and Stephanie do it, like, Tess wasn't a big deal when that happened. It's like, Tess was starting off. That was more a big thing, end up being a big thing for Triple H. But it just seems, especially how weird John Cena is, because he seems like a damn, we talk about how much of a weirdo he seems like, the crowd would eat it up, because crowds like the, even cynical crowds like stuff like that. And people tend to forget how popular Nikki Bella is. Like, go when you go to WrestleMania and you see all the women and a lot of men walking around with Brie Mode and Fearless shirts, it's like a million people watch Total Divas every week. So she's popular, and it's funny how that match had probably the best build up out of all the matches in Mania.
Oh, yeah, somehow. But
but other than that, like Raw, like, you know, the Owens Jericho thing is like they're gonna have a good match. It just feels weird where they had a great build up and great fire, but Owens not having the belt affects that match. It's like, I know they're fighting for Jericho's belt and it's gonna be a big match. It just feels like it's overshadowed for whatever reason.
Yes, and you actually forget that this is for the U.S. title. Like, they mention it, but the personal issue is way bigger than the title. So,
like, the title plays in the personal issue. It's like, I want to make you feel the way I feel, and I want to take from you. And it's funny, like, somebody pointed out, this is the first WrestleMania where the U.S. title and IC title defended, and it's just straight singles matches.
Mm-hmm.
On the same show, and people always talk about, well, why don't they defend to make the belts feel for it? And it's like they're high profile matches, but they don't feel, because like the Ambrose Baron Corbin thing just feel like it's just in its own universe. Like the build up for both those matches, it seem, especially that match Corbin and Ambrose, just feels weird. It's like, half the stuff has been like backstage and talking smack or stuff that people haven't seen. Like Baron Corbin tried to murder him with a forklift, and Dean Ambrose basically laughed it off. Dean Ambrose basically laughed it off the next week. Like it's just, and it's just weird, but I want to see it. It's like a lot of stuff where the buildup has been weird. I still want to see the match. I'm curious to see which women will be in the SmackDown match.
And I don't think those are the only women we're seeing.
Oh no, they already said it's not going to be. Like I know Kelly has talked about she's going to be there.
And Eve Torres Gracie as well.
Yeah, and it's funny where I know the story came out like Eva Marie, they're not going to renew her contract. Like it would be the most hilarious thing if she, like, you know, you forgot all about her. You assume she's getting, you know, she's going to leave because she's doing movies and stuff like that. And then she pops up and wins.
I don't know about winning. It would almost be fitting if she popped up and she came in, because that crowd would just, you know, viciously boo her. And then she just immediately loses or something happens and then she's gone. That was like her swan song.
Yeah,
and just it's funny how that's going to bitch. But like, why did she get a payday? It's like, oh god, whatever.
It's just hilarious how that happened. Where she was going to basically be champion. She had a wellness violation, found a career doing movies, and she gonna bounce. Like a little thing like that. Like it's just funny how that happens. Where you know your career is going one way, and then something happens, and you're like, oh, I can make money doing other stuff because she's done like 2 movies and talking about doing a third one. It's like, oh, I can work and I don't have to worry about wrestling. I'm already in my 30s. Like, peace. So good for her. Although I will miss her because I felt like, you know, she had a chance to be like she was an awesome, like, heat magnet. Like, people love hating her because she represented everything smart fans hated about women wrestling. And, like, because she's pretty gorgeous. Much. She's basically gorgeous. She didn't grow up with wrestling. She doesn't have ring work and yada 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 all that stuff. It's like I would never be able to date this type of girl. So the hell, like that's why I like. But like you have a like. It's funny. Sasha Banks came out like that. People got mad that she got married. And she's like, I don't know why these fans thought like they had a chance to like marry me. It's like, let's be serious. Like you getting mad at your husband because you thought you had a chance. Like. I'm sorry, like I am who I am out the way I look. I'm not dating you, Miss 6X T-shirt wearing fan, because you like my stuff. Because you like the stuff I used to wrestle in Boston when I was 18, and you got my tapes. Like that's not how it works.
All right, so on that note, let's get out of here. Jesus. So enjoy NXT, which has kind of gotten no pub this year. Enjoy WrestleMania, everybody. Hopefully, if you go see Ghost in the Shell, I hope you enjoy it if you're spending your money. So, I'm going to get out of here. We'll be back next week. Look for a possible NXT review or a preview show with Kevin and Chris. I am going to post the staff picks for WrestleMania tomorrow. And so you can read those and then follow along and laugh at us when we get most of them wrong. So, thanks for listening. I'll let Sheed take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Dohadi, and enjoy your weekends. We are out.